Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Experimental Homesteader Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson, and today we're going to talk about the advantages of raising goats. You know, goats do a lot more than just clean up brush and eat grass. They give you fiber, cashmere, and mohair. They give you milk, and there are a lot of products you can make with that milk, butter, ice cream, cheese. They give you meat if you decide to butcher them. And so goats can be a real advantage, especially for small-scale homesteaders that don't have room to raise larger meat animals such as cows. We raise our goats organically here at Exotic Gardening Farms and Wildlife Habitat. And we have found by doing this that we eliminate a lot of the problems that people have when they raise their goats conventionally. For example, when we bought our goats, we had a problem with coccidiosis, which is very common among goats, especially young ones. And within 2 years of going organic, feeding them organic kelp, using diatomaceous earth in their feed and in their stalls, I put it on the ground. I have been known to toss it up on the walls. It usually doesn't stay there, but sometimes little particles will stick. I've sprinkled it on the ground outside. Of course, when it rains, it goes away, but you can put more. And we have become completely parasite-free. We do not have coccidiosis. We do not have parasites. And I also know that the kelp helps with the parasite problem as well. It gives the goats everything that they need to be healthy. We do not have any problems when the goats give birth. The babies are healthy. We've just had no problems at all since doing this. We do feed organic feed. We pick certified organic feed and have it shipped in. And we've just seen a lot healthier, happier goats this way. Now, of course, we have no way to get organic hay, but we have asked if the farmer that sells the hay sprays and the place we get it from says they're pretty sure they don't. That doesn't mean that there can't be drift from other farm fields in the area. But as I said, at least the grain, the mineral, and the parasite control is all natural. We do milk our goats in addition to getting fiber from them. And I use the milk to make a variety of items. I found that I can freeze the milk. We do pasteurize, so after that's done and we put the milk in the freezer and we bring it down to temperature, then we either put it in the refrigerator if we're going to use it right away, or we put it in half-gallon glass canning jars and we seal them with the plastic lids, and then we put the canning jars inside of 2-gallon zipper bags. We zip them up and we put them in the bottom of the deep freeze. And then you can set that milk in the refrigerator for 3 days and you can thaw it, and that way you've got milk year-round. This is a great way to save money, especially with the cost of milk. And you might be thinking, well, by the time I feed the goats and take care of them, and especially if I buy organic feed, what am I really saving? You are saving. These goats give enough milk, and we only have 3 that we milk. They give enough milk that we have plenty to drink fresh. We have plenty to make fresh cheese with. We can make ice cream. We make our own butter in season. And we still have milk to put in the freezer. And so when the goats are not giving us milk, we've got milk that we can go to and still save money. And believe me, this is a money saver. Not only that, you know what your goats eat. You know how they're being raised, and you know what's in that milk. And if the hormones and the genetically modified foods are a concern to you, this is really important. Now, we haven't butchered any of our goats yet, but we do know people that have butchered, and so we have had goat meat. And it does take a little bit of getting used to, but as I said, if you don't have room for a cow, you don't have room for a pig, or you just don't want to deal with a pig because a pig really doesn't take a lot of room, you can learn to eat goat meat. And it really is about learning what seasonings to use and how to cook the goat meat. It's not bad tasting. You can mix it with food that you're used to. For example, if you make goat sausage, you can mix that with some pork sausage. You can make goat hamburger and mix it partly with hamburger from the store from a cow. This might not seem like it's going to save you money, but it does because it's going to stretch the meat that you have to buy. And again, in today's economy, and not always knowing how the animals are raised that you get the meat from at the store, this is another good way to kind of stretch your budget and make use of your goats. And you might be thinking, too, going back to the milk, well, if I'm going to raise these goats, I've got to breed them. And if I've got to breed them, then I'm going to have babies, and aren't the babies going to take all the milk? No, they don't. This is how we do it here. We leave the babies on the mother goats for the first 4 to 6 weeks. This gives the goats time to bond with the babies. It gives the babies time to have all of the milk that they want to drink. And we watch. When those babies start drinking water, they start eating hay, they start eating grain, you will eventually see them less and less on the mama. They will still go back and drink, and they will do that as long as you leave them together. But once we kind of feel like, well, the babies got off to a good start and we can start separating them now, we separate the mamas about mid-afternoon, about 4 or 5 o'clock, leave the mamas separated all night long. In the morning, we milk the mama, and then we put the mama back in with the baby, and we don't completely milk her out. We take a good portion of it, but we do leave some milk so that the baby can finish milking her out and get a little bit that morning. Because the goat is constantly producing milk to not only meet the baby's demands, but to meet our demands, there is not a shortage of milk. There is absolutely plenty to go around. By about 8 weeks, the babies are usually sold off. Of course, if you're going to keep them for meat, this is not going to happen. So you will need to continue to separate them, so you don't have the babies taking all the milk from the mamas, because, as I said, the mamas will keep letting them nurse. We've had year-olds out there that we've seen still nursing on mama. It's just what goats do. The other thing, I mentioned cashmere and angora goats. Our buck is actually an angora, and then we have one doe that's a cashmere. And then we have 3 dairy goats that are Alpine Nubian crosses. But any of our babies that are born have fiber as well. So we do collect the fiber. The cashmere, you just comb it out. The angora, you have to shear it off. And I use the fiber to spin homemade yarn with. I use the fiber to weave with. The pieces of the fiber that are not useful to me, I put outside in a mesh baggie so the birds can take it off and use it for their nest. There's a lot of things you can do with the fiber. You can soak with the fiber. You can sell it if you don't want to use it yourself. And that's another form of income, which is especially important for small-scale homesteaders. So these are just some ideas of some of the advantages of raising goats, what you can do with them. And, of course, as I said to start with, they're great for clearing brush, eating grass. We do have a guest call-in line. That number is 1-626-657-2120. And I'd like to invite you to call in with your questions about goats. Or if you have a funny goat story you'd like to share, then I'd like to invite you to call in. Again, this is the Experimental Homesteader Show, and I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson. And I'd like to take a minute to invite you to my website, The Experimental Homesteader. And that's experimentalhomesteader.com. There's a lot of good information on this site, including instructions that tell you exactly how to freeze goat milk. I've got instructions on how to make butter on there, and it's not as hard as you might think. All you need to make butter is the goat cream and a blender and a little bit of salt. That's it. It is so easy. Once you've done it and tasted it, you're going to wonder why you haven't been doing it all along. Making cheese is not hard either. You don't need anything but the goat milk and the vinegar. A gallon of goat milk, a quarter cup of vinegar. Heat the goat milk to 125 degrees. Put the quarter cup of vinegar in. Gently stir it. Set it aside with the lid on it. Let it set till that milk cools. Pour the milk through the cheesecloth. That way the cheese remains in the cheesecloth. The whey goes out into the pan below. Some people like to drink the whey or use the whey. I feed it to the chickens. Once you've got your cheese, all you've got to do is add a little bit of salt if you want, some herbs. We like garlic and dill. And we do not add salt to our cheese, but some people like to. We just use garlic and dill, and you put it on it. You press it in with a spoon until it's well mixed. You can mold that cheese into a ball, set it in your refrigerator, let it cool, and you have got a wonderful homemade cheese spread. Not only that, it is absolutely fantastic to use in lasagna and on other recipes that call for cheese. It's good to eat fresh. You can use other herbs if you like. You don't even have to put anything in it if you don't want to. But really, really easy. Making butter is the same way. Just pour your cream in the blender. Turn it on blend. Let it go. It will start to form a ball. And you will hear the sound difference in your blender as more and more butter is made. When you think you've got all the butter out that you're going to get, turn it off. Pour the buttermilk out, which is all the liquid that's left. You can save the buttermilk. You can use it in breads, pancakes, rolls. You can drink it. You need to then fill your blender with water and the butter and blend it several times with fresh water, because what you're aiming for is clear water. You're trying to get all that extra buttermilk out of that butter so it lasts longer. Put the butter in a dish. Put a little bit of salt over it. You can put herbs in if you like. You don't have to. Use a spoon. Smash it all together good. Roll it in a ball. Put it in your refrigerator, and you've got fresh goat butter. Nothing could be easier. Ice cream, I've got an electric ice cream maker, which saves a ton of time over the old-fashioned hand crank ice cream maker. The electric ice cream maker does not take the salt. You just keep your bowl in your freezer. When you're ready to make ice cream, you put your goat milk, your cream, and you may need to buy heavy cream from the store for this, unless you have another source of pure cream, because you do need the milk and the cream. Put your other ingredients in, strawberries, cinnamon, cherries, whatever you want. Turn it on. In 45 minutes, you're going to be putting that in the freezer. And that night, it's going to be frozen and ready to serve your family fresh goat milk ice cream. Absolutely fantastic. Again, I would like you to call in, to invite you to call in to talk about raising goats. The call-in number is 1-626-657-2120. Now, you may be thinking, okay, if I get all this from goats, what other things do I need to do to take care of them? Well, you're going to have a milk stand if you intend to milk them, because they're not just going to stand there in the middle of nowhere and say, here I am, milk me. So you're going to have a milk stand, but you can make one. They're not difficult. The important thing is that you choose a material that you can keep clean. Ours is made out of wood. And I put the soapy water over it after I'm done milking the goats, and then I hose it down. You're going to need a stainless steel bucket to put the milk into. And this is just for sanitary reasons. You don't have to pasteurize, but if you intend to pasteurize, you're either going to need a double boiler pan, and this is a good size pan. Some people use a canning pot and another large stainless steel pan and make their own. Some people get an actual pasteurizer. It just depends on what your budget is and how you prefer to do this. But as I said, you don't have to pasteurize, and a lot of people choose not to. It's all a very personal choice. You're going to need some clippers, because you have to keep their hooves clipped. And this is something you can do yourself. Most goats will stand there and let you do this. If they give you a little bit of problem, you just need to be firm with them. The easiest way to trim hooves is to put them on the milk stand, give them a little bit of extra grain or some other treat that they really like. Pick up a hoof. Use the tool that they use to clean horse hooves out to kind of clean around the goat's hooves. And then use the shears to just clip them off. You should check your hooves about once a month, especially in the summertime. But you need to check them in the winter, too, because overgrown hooves can cause a lot of problems, including hoof rot. You don't want to go there. If you have fiber goats, of course, you need to keep an eye on them, because they're going to get into things and get things in their fiber. And ideally, you want to keep their fiber as clean and free of debris as possible. This is going to make it easier for you when you shear or comb that fiber out. Because if there's crap in that fiber, you've got to sit there and pick it out. If you send it off to be processed, you're going to get charged extra if you send really dirty fiber. As far as cleaning the fiber, that's easy too. After I get my fiber off the goats, I put it very thinly in mesh laundry bags. I fill my washer with hot, soapy water. I turn my washer off. I put the bags of wool in the washer and kind of press them down. I close the washer lid and I let them soak for 30 minutes. When that 30 minutes is up, I go out there, I turn my washer on the spin cycle, and you want to make sure that it doesn't rinse. It just spins, because you don't want any cold water, or hot water for that matter, hitting the fiber, because that will cause it to felt. You just want to spin the fiber out, and then you can take those mesh bags and you can just hang them up and let that fiber air dry. If the water was pretty dirty, you may want to do this process two or three times. But the key here is to make sure that you keep the water temperature, the same because a sudden change in temperature is what causes silting to happen. And you don't want that to happen. I have found that fiber goats are nicer than dairy goats. They're not so in your face. Dairy goats kind of are a little more demanding of attention. They're a little more aggressive of a goat. Fiber goats, or at least the ones I have, they kind of stand back. They're kind of shy. They're very cooperative. I don't have the let's dance around the milk stand and not get on it with the fiber goats. When they come out, they're happy to get on the milk stand. They want that fiber taken off of them. If you're not sure that you want to deal with fiber, cashmeres are a good way to go because if you don't get it off, it's going to fall off. To where the Angora goat, you have to shear them because it's not going to fall off. So again, just depending on, you know, what are you after. Another thing that you can do with goats, a lot of places, especially larger cities, will rent goats to clear out debris in areas where they can't get machines. So, as I said, goats are great for eating grass. They're great for clearing brush. They're great for keeping an area cleaned up. They're great for using in an area that you know it has rocks and things, and you can't see what's in there, so you need to get it cleaned out. They're great for sending in there, but do be careful that the goats don't get cut or hurt. And if they do, get them medical care as quickly as possible because when a goat gets sick, it doesn't always come out of it, especially if it's something like pneumonia. So again, the number to call in is 1-626-657-2120. And I'm Sherri Ann Richardson. My website is experimentalhomesteader.com. And we're talking about the advantages of raising goats today. If you decide that you're going to raise your goats for meat production, there are goats, the Boer goat for one, that are bred specifically for that. So if your main goal is meat, then you're going to want to buy a meat goat. Not that you can't get meat from milk or fiber goats, but you're not going to get as much meat from those kind as you are from a meat goat. So once you get the meat from your goat, you can freeze it, which is what a lot of people do. You can dehydrate it. You can make jerky out of it. You can can it. Basically, you can cure it any way that you would cure any other type of meat. But as I said, not all spices taste as good with goat as they do with, say, cow or pig or other types of animals that you may be used to eating. So goat is an acquired taste. It does take some time to learn how to cook it right. And so if your first experience with goat meat isn't that good, don't be afraid to try it again. Get a good recipe book on cooking with goats. The book that I have is called Goats Produce 2, and it is a fantastic book. It tells you how to cook the meat. It tells you what you can do with the milk. It has just a ton of recipes in it, absolutely fantastic. And again, the name of that book is Goats Produce 2. And it's T-O-O, not the number 2. So with that, I would like to wrap this show up. Again, you have been listening to The Experimental Homesteader. I'm your host, Sherri Ann Richardson. My website is experimentalhomesteader.com. And that's E-X-P-E-R-I-M-E-N-T-A-L-H-O-M-E. STEADER.com. There are a lot of articles on my website about goats, lot of cute goat pictures, especially the baby goats. There are articles over there on freezing milk, making butter, lots of recipes. I invite you to come on over, take a look around. If you like what you see, we have RSS sign up, we have sign up on network blogs, and we also have the Google sign up bar. Feel free to post questions in the comments sections over on my website, or you can send me an email if you'd like to talk to me personally. I'd also like to tell you about my two new books that just came out, 101 Self-Sufficiency Gardening Tips and 101 Secret Gardening Tips. Both of these books have a ton of information on them about homesteading. The Secret Gardening Tips has information on spinning wool and weaving and using plants for dyes, all kinds of neat stuff. You can find those on Amazon.com. They are available for the Kindle. There is a free sample download if you'd like to check it out. And I invite you to join me in 2 weeks, right back here, where we will be talking about natural fibers. I hope you all have a good week, and I hope to see you back in 2 weeks.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.